Welcome to a special edition of Word Balloon in conjunction with Newsarama.com. This is John Suntress. This episode of Word Balloon is sponsored by InStock Trades at InStockTrades.com. InStock Trades offers a huge selection of trade paperbacks, hardcovers, essentials, showcases, archives, absolute editions, omnibus editions, and more. All at up to 35% off with orders over $50 receiving free shipping. Plus, check out Bendis' Powers and Daredevil trade paperbacks. And don't forget to visit InStock Trades' sister site, Discount Comic Book Service, at dcbservice.com for all your pre-order needs. Major publishers are 40% off, and monthly specials are 45 to 75% off every month. Visit InStock Trades at InStockTrades.com and Discount Comic Book Service at dcbservice.com. This weekend at the New York Comic Con, some new projects were announced by Marvel featuring writer Brian Michael Bendis. Bendis wasn't able to attend the con, but we've got his exclusive comments on the announced projects and a few other books and films on his mind. How are you, buddy?
Very good.
First of all, let's talk about what you want to start about with what we can talk about?
We can talk about Daredevil.
Daredevil?
End of Days.
Okay.
It is in the fashion of the End series and Dark Knight Returns and any great last story. This is the last Daredevil story.
Very cool. In continuity.
Written by me and David Mack. Drawn by Claus Janssen, Bill Sienkiewicz. Covered by Alex Maleev. What I'm really excited about is just not only the scope of the project, but co-writing with David Mack, is that with all of these artists that we have involved in the project, including David and Alex, the base will be Claus penciling and Bill inking, but within the context of the story, there will be sequences painted by Bill, painted by Alex, painted by Claus, full art by Claus, full art by Bill, Alex doing some interiors. It is an expression of artistic, of everything that Daredevil's been through, with all these different artists having places to shine. So it's a real mixed media, multimedia hootenanny. It is a very big story, and it's David Mack's glorious return to mainstream comics.
How many issues?
What a sellout.
How many issues?
At least six. And the first two are double sized. They might all be double sized.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a tome. It's a tomb. It's a thing.
It is. And
Tony and Urith's book. Thank you.
Intimidating writing the final Matt story of all the writers that they could have picked and all the great people that have been attached to
it. It kind of came out for years. Me and Mr. Janssen had been talking. He had graciously came out in support of me and Alex's Daredevil run without me knowing him. He came out in favor of it, and it was really something. It was really, really nice. And we had talked for years about doing stuff, but he was working with Rocca, and there was other stuff going on that wasn't that perfect project. This came up. Marvel had been talking to me about a Daredevil The End kind of project for a while, and then when Claus was meeting with Marvel, it came up, and they said, well, how about Brian and David and you? And then Bill Sienkiewicz got involved, and it kind of germed from Klaus and what he wanted to do with the character. Because all of us felt, if we were ever to return to the character, it would have to be something bigger, something much more epic than what even we had done individually or as teams. So this was the next evolutionary step.
Are the artists able to converse, and have they, in terms
we
of...
We all got on the phone. I got to tell you, it's one of the best moments of my whole career. We all got on the phone, and we told him me and David told him, here's the plan, which is very similar to what I just told you. And Bill Sienkiewicz, one of my heroes,
yes, indeed.
I think one of the greatest artists ever graced the pages of comics, literally said at the end of the meeting, you know what, I've been meaning to take it a step further. I want to take it a step further. See you guys. And we're like, oh my God, he's going to take it a step further? Step further from what? Yeah, that's the most exciting thing you can hear. Is it a visionary thing? He's antsy. And then we got the first pages in, and we're like, hallelujah. The first issue will have one cover by Alex and one cover by David.
That's great.
Because I love variant covers. And the rest of the covers will be by Alex.
With Janssen and Sienkiewicz, I mean, they worked with Miller and did such amazing work.
They've done amazing work together and amazing work individually.
Yes, they have, and I was going to say, Sienkiewicz, your little team-up moment.
Yes, that
with
was
the Punisher and
one of the greatest moments of my career.
So that's really cool.
Personally. because it was full on Bill and it was really something.
Excellent.
It was one of those moments where I was working with someone whose every idea I had stolen and was now handing it back to him. So.
Did you geek out and talk to him about like that great graphic novel that he and Miller did? Was it Love and Glory?
I have geeked out on them. The first thing I ever got hired to do at Marvel was a Nick Fury graphic novel that was to be painted by Bill Sienkiewicz that fell apart on us. And I think I talked about it in an earlier podcast, but my first book I was ever supposed to do was going to be Bill. So I have, over the years, geeked out on him plenty to the point where I try to keep it together now.
Will you obviously be pulling strings of other writers' stories? I mean, or is this all touching on things that you and Mac have done in the past? I mean, you've both had...
All things.
Okay.
It's about the legacy and history of Daredevil.
Okay.
And where it eventually will lead and where it can only go and what that means, not only to Daredevil's story, but to the whole Marvel Universe.
Okay.
It's actually the exact same story as Fantastic Four the End, but... I mean, you won't even tell the difference, seriously.
But with
it's
less tits.
Story.
All right, there you go.
Yeah. Galactus shows up, the whole fucking thing.
And yeah. your name was connected with another project that you can't talk a lot about, and am I right?
Well, I think they know, we'll know if we can edit this, but they announced that Alex and I are doing the first Halo arc for the first ongoing.
Yeah.
And it's a pretty big deal. It's a lot. It was a massive amount of... research, because even if you're a fan of the game, the story is a pretty intensive story. So we're not allowed to talk about it too much because Bungie and Microsoft have their own PR timeline and agenda. So I cannot speak any further other than say that there's no one on this earth more born to draw Halo than Alex, and I'm happy to be part of it.
They've had very good creators working at Bungie on the original graphic novel.
Yeah, Mobius? Who gives a shit?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, just Mobius. Jay Ferber, you know, nobody big, nobody interesting.
Yeah. Simon Bisley, Mobius?
Yeah.
Whatever. That was the sketchbook of the template of what we're going to, you know. No, really, I'm not going to talk too much, but I was there for the first meeting between Bungie and Marvel about the Halo graphic novel, and when they pulled out their Mobius pages, we went, oh, shit, they're serious.
I bet.
These guys aren't fucking around. So when the series came up and they asked us to do it, it was quite flattering because we knew they were taking it extremely seriously and extremely literarily. I mean, they're like European sci-fi graphic novels are really beautiful. So it's actually kind of a little bit of an honor to be asked to be part of it.
Yeah, and this is interesting because you're the crime writer guy. You're the superhero guy. And I think we've all been curious to see you really tackle something more sci-fi. And we're seeing glimpses of it in Powers, and we're seeing glimpses of it currently in the Illuminati. So
I'm an ever-evolving flower. not that I'm spinning my wheels, but the story is about Master Chief investigating the murder of a... No, I'm just joking. it's a challenge, and it's the kind of challenge that all of the people that I admire attempt and achieve, and that is not to put yourself in a little box. It's nice to be known for stuff, but as even like with Illuminati came out today and stuff like that, you're a writer and you write about things with equal amount of honesty and don't just keep doing the same trick over and over and over again. And if you do, you got about a 2-year shelf life.
So we're going to see Halo soldiers standing in the vacuum of space having a 20-page conversation.
Oh, they won't shut up. Lord, it's Master Chief. Blah, blah, blah. Yeah, my Master Chief's a little catty. No, I'm just joking. It's well within the world and realm of what's been established.
That's cool.
Yeah.
And you're a fan of the
game.
Well,
I'll talk about it.
Okay, that's all. All right.
No, but it'll be cool.
The New Avengers Illuminati, the second issue came out Wednesday when we're taping this. And
cool.
I had a chance to read it, and it was really cool.
I shoplifted one just for the perverse thrill. Stuffed one in my pants and walked out.
Well, back to the Illuminati. Yeah.
I'll tell you what the best part of today was. Not only because it's so gorgeous, it's the artwork's amazing, but a friend of mine told me that he was picking up his books. Someone had read it and loved it and couldn't stop talking about the level of imagination and creativity that me and Brian had for inventing the Infinity Gauntlet. You know, some people know the history, some people don't. So they read it and think I've invented all of it. They're like, wow. Fuck, Marvel, Lord of the Rings, and what is you? Oh, my goodness. And I'm like, yeah, that's me.
Starlin who?
Who, what?
Never heard of him.
Yeah.
No, it was...
No, that is funny that sometimes you forget that, not, you know, just because you know something doesn't mean anyone else does, but at least the idea got across to someone who had no idea what it was, so that was good.
No, and again, I think interesting uses of the Six's powers that you wouldn't normally attribute.
Yeah, well, as we talked about in previous podcasts, the idea of this is I know that some people reading the miniseries thought they had a pretty good idea what the miniseries was going to be about or how it was going to feel based on the special, and I was hoping to pleasantly surprise them by it being something else. It isn't just talkie-talkie heads.
And to be honest, it was one of the things that I felt was lacking in the What If issues because there was so much time spent on, hey, this is what's happened if you didn't read the original story, mm-hmm. and then a rush to finish in 22 pages. But
right.
I think you guys have achieved it in these 22 pages where it was just, here's this story, and it doesn't matter whether you knew the Infinity Gauntlet
kind
or not.
It's kind of a cheat because the way the stories are set up, and it's a kind of a lucky cheat. One of the characters in that group, one of them wasn't there for the event or mm-hmm. something, so there's always someone who doesn't know and needs to be filled in. So it's legitimate information the character would give across. So it's exposition that would happen in real life as opposed to shitty exposition. Like someone needed to be filled in that
sure.
legitimately was. Like Xavier, I don't think, was there.
Okay, yeah, I was going to say, yeah, those would be my guesses, would be Namor and Xavier. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, so there's always something like that. There's always someone who wasn't available.
So, little Kubrick watching 2001, I like, with the time orb, if you will.
I got to say, Chung sold that pretty awesome.
That was really cool.
Because that could easily fall on his face as well. So I'd be remiss if me and Brian didn't give credit to Jimmy for really selling us a sea monster like no one's business.
Absolutely. And I must sit down with Brian.
And a little baby Xavier on the panel. It was really pissing everybody off, but I loved it.
That's what I was
talking
about.
That was in the script, but it was so funny when I saw it. Because I go, that could easily like fight right by you, too. Like, why is he a baby?
Yeah, and Teen Namor, of course.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. And we did have I said in the script, Teen Tony's in there, but you can't tell. Everyone loves Teen Tony. I hate to.
Well,
I just want to take off his mask and look at the reader. I'm back. All right. Well, thanks, man. I'm glad you dug it.
Hey, man, I'm here.
Yay.
You know, see.
Well, issue 3 will be a lot of fun for you. I think issue 3 is the strongest of the batch, so people dug these too.
And oh yeah, Secret War.
Secret War number 3, number 4, Marvel Boy, but number 4 you get the. The best part of 4 is the first half of the issue, or the first section of the issue, I should say, is the 5 has been bitching about women, which is what they would do, and it's right after Clea left Doctor Strange to lead the Dark Dimension, which has got to be the worst breakup of all time. I'd rather lead a bunch of hoary demons than touch you one more time. So Clea is not the only C word that will be used in that script. Thank you.
Nice.
What? Okay.
All right, so you're off to Italy.
I'm off to Italy.
Enjoy.
Talk to Italians. I don't know. I hope people show up. I have no idea what's going to happen there.
Well, we look forward to more information as it comes out about Halo. Any words on now that we've got the solicits out, we should quickly comments on Civil War 7. And now that 7 is out, the projects that are coming up in the weeks ahead, Mighty Avengers mm-hmm. is going to get started.
Mm-hmm.
And the solicitations have already come out, so we're going to see the two teams clashing.
Clashing teams. Yeah.
Excellent.
That's all I have to say.
Nice. You got nothing? No comment on any of this?
Yeah, it's cool stuff. Yeah. I don't know why it was classified to begin with. I can never tell. I can never figure out what we're ruining, what we're not ruining. That's the cool thing about New Avengers is Mighty Avengers are hunting them while the New Avengers are trying to be Avengers. So there's extra added stress.
Okay. And, interesting ending to Civil War, and certainly not the ending that I think people were hearing rumors about. Though.
I read the script many moons ago, even though I do see that there are those who think that the story is constantly morphed to answer internet stuff, but that's, you know, this thing is written before you even know it exists. And listen, I got, you know, I do have an epilogue book coming out called The Confession with
yes.
Alex, and it, hard to imagine from the title, but it is very much about repercussions of actions and things that hopefully will answer some questions that, you know, maybe you'll dig.
How much of that did, as far as plotting that, was you and Mark going over things? And, like, was there a lot of, hey, this is as far as I'm going with Civil War up to 7, and we need another book to explain things?
No, there was a couple of instances about the story that we had all discussed that never seemed to make it to print in anybody's book, including mine. And,
okay.
You know, it was a couple of beats that we all knew about the characters. You know, and it was being represented again as a retreat, and I said, "Boy, you know, we've never actually said that in print. You know, that you know, it's a pretty big thing." And I got stuck with it.
Okay.
I talked myself into a gig. I had no intention of writing it, but it does need to be said, and it's characters that I am writing for the foreseeable future. And Mark is, you know, done. So it was my book to write. So
does that become part of the Civil War trade? I mean, is there a...
I don't know. I think Mark and Steve's work should be the Civil War trade.
It
becomes more like a prologue or... I don't know. To include it in Civil War would be not fair to Mark and Steve. It's their book. And
I understand.
They don't need to be sharing the royalties.
Okay. People. Yeah, and that's the business end of it. I can appreciate
that. I
want
the day after in the House of Them trade. You know what I mean? It's someone else's story and let them get their own.
Oh, yeah. I don't even mean it from a business. I guess I don't mean it from a business.
From a business standpoint, it's not fair. And from you can go in front of Mighty Avengers in the trade or something. Or New Avengers or Thunderbolts or wherever it goes.
There. And we'll learn the identity of the new Ronin within, like, 3 issues?
Yeah, 29 or 30.
Okay.
I think 29, even.
I'm not going to...
I can only pull that string so many times.
Right. Well, and that's... Yeah, I'm sure people are like, okay, yeah, how long is this going to drag out?
Yeah.
So, okay.
Yeah.
Very cool.
No, and also, you know, once you get into issue 28, you're going to be like, all right, so it's one of two people. It's either me or this guy. So.
I'm putting my money on Blade. I've said it.
All right. Money's down.
And that's already gone. Right. I have a feeling. Right. I can hear you guys erasing it right now. Calling Lineal U. Give him a beer. Change his hair.
So, well, how much you betting?
I'm not betting any money. Are you crazy?
I'm always, happen.
I am always wrong. I'm always wrong. So don't even bother. So, and that's it. I can't. Anything else?
Hey, I saw a good movie.
Talk to me.
Scanner Darkly. Shit, I loved it.
Told you.
Loved it.
Told you earlier in this podcast.
Loved
so.
Every second of it, and I'm not exactly sure what's wrong with our society that not only was it not nominated for Best Animated Feature when it was by far the Best Animated Feature, but it's not heralded as a major work for a major director. It's
Was Waking Life nominated as an animated feature?
I can't remember, but I'm thinking that it wasn't.
Because I'm guessing the whole rotoscope thing might make, you know, real animators pissed off.
I don't know, man. It's a major achievement by an American director, and it's just kind of whatever.
Sure, and a great way to achieve the effect of the virtual
and
suit
and
everything.
It enhanced the story, and it did, I don't get it.
No, I loved it. I thought it was...
Phenomenal Robert Downey Jr. again.
Yes. Yeah. And Woody. Woody Harrelson was great
Woody
as well.
Woody was great, yeah.
No, and you know, even
Winona Ryder naked in a cartoon form. Come on.
Yeah, well, yeah, exactly.
I've waited for that since... Heathers and Welcome Home, Marcy Carmichael.
And
Welcome
Home,
Marcy Carmichael.
And Keanu, not annoying, which is always a plus.
He's great in these roles. He's exactly what he should be doing.
Yeah, you know, he is. He's like the 21st century Charlton Heston. It's like, you know, you belong in sci-fi.
No, I like the Little Buddha. Don't take it away from him. Anyway.
I still haven't seen Little Buddha.
It's terrible.
But yes,
it's the opposite of what he should be doing. Are we recording now?
Yeah.
Okay. Stop recording.
So that wraps up this quick special edition of the Bendis Tapes from Newsarama.com and Word Balloon. But if you want to hear more about the future of Mighty Avengers, New Avengers, Ultimate Spider-Man, and a whole lot more, the 2007 winter edition of the Bendis Tapes starts Tuesday and will be available at WordBalloon.com, iTunes, MySpace.com/WordBalloon, and the various podcatcher sites. This episode of Word Balloon was sponsored by InStock Trades at InStockTrades.com. InStock Trades offers a huge selection of trade paperbacks, hardcovers, essentials, showcases, archives, absolute editions, omnibus editions, and more. all at up to 35% off, with orders over $50 receiving free shipping. Plus, check out Bendis's Powers and Daredevil trade paperbacks. And don't forget to visit InStock Trade's sister site, Discount Comic Book Service, at dcbservice.com for all your pre-order needs. Major publishers are 40% off, and monthly specials are 45 to 75% off every month. Visit InStock Trades at InStockTrades.com and Discount Comic Book Service at dcbservice.com. Be sure to check out the rest of the three-part Bendis tape starting Tuesday. Until then, this is John Suntress. Word Balloon is a copyright feature of Shaky Productions. Copyright 2007.